podcast is just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah.
And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. And I'm Wesley Sykes. And through the other side of the ether is the bear to my otter. It's Dr. Joseph Gilmore, power bottom for hire.
And I'm not that expensive. So, you know, you hire me. I'm there.
This has been a long time coming. Of course, we are both Nick Fryer's other half on his podcast universe here. So, you know, I feel like it's been a while since we've done a podcast together, Doc.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the last one was. I know I was on here for something. Was it Lord of the Rings-ish, perhaps?
Oh, it could have been Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, original versus sequel.
Yes.
Definitely for that one. Maybe something a little bit sooner, but let's not rack our brains trying to figure that out here. Doc is our special guest this week. We don't know where Nick is yet. Maybe that's a bit, maybe not, but this week, Doc is going to be helping us draft a team of our favorite X-Men characters.
Yeah.
Short guitar riff. We're going to get dinged on that.
We'll
do that pretty quickly. But this is fun. And you know, I from my understanding, the TLDR boys have already participated in a X-Men character draft on the Mac and Goo program.
We did. And I had a much different philosophy then than I do tonight. And ooh, I think Nick
a little
is
wiser, a little older,
a little wiser, a little older, a little smarter. I've got a couple
more
well
read,
very, very much more well read, if that is English. I have a couple of different directions I could go, right? If I want to take a speaking of a power bottom, take someone mm-hmm. away from Nicholas that he may admire. But I'm excited, very excited.
Well, we'll get to that in a little minute, in a little bit, in a few minutes. that doesn't stink. There's nothing smelly about that. But Easter was just yesterday, as a crow flies, Nick, or as our Doc, I should say. What is your favorite Easter candy? Do you like Peeps? First, let's get that out of the way. Do you like Peeps?
Peeps are disgusting. The Easter Bunny brought my daughter fruit punch flavored Peeps. That I'm intrigued to try. But my favorite Easter candy is Starburst jelly beans.
Oh, that is really good. I do like those a lot. See, we go more of the chocolates and the sweets in the household here. We don't get that. That's, I don't know, what would you call that candy? Fruit candy?
Like a pectin candy.
Sure,
you know?
Pectin. I like that. That's scientific. The good doctor coming through right there. We're big. It's the Reese's eggs. That seems cliche, but the Reese's eggs, you know, any of the holiday Reese's are really a good go-to. But I like the Cadbury egg. Some people might think that's too rich.
Well, my wife loves the Cadbury cream egg as well. Now, I'll say when it comes to Reese's, the Reese's egg by far is the best of the holiday eggs. It's got the best peanut butter to chocolate ratio. Mm-hmm, but if you had the Reese's version of a Cadbury egg.
Oh, maybe once, now that you mention it.
It's the size of a Cadbury egg, but it's full of peanut butter. Oh, man,
I'll have to make a run over to CVS and get some a discount Easter candy there.
Yeah, 50% off.
All right, that's good. You know, here, we got the fry guy coming in here. Now this is a... This is a menage a trois here, a thruple, if you will, Nick. How do you feel about the good doctor coming in? You're trying to Wally Pip you here.
I feel very underappreciated by you, and then Joe talking shit as usual. I mean, that is just the grass is green, sky is blue,
carrying earth on these shoulders. That's when I'm podcasting with you. You know,
that's for damn sure. But I am very excited to do this draft. And I will say on the Easter candy, you know, I feel like you and I have discussed in some capacity before. But I
probably
was
last Easter,
maybe. But I was reminded when I went back home, because I hadn't been home with my parents for Easter in a while. Just the little eggs that like the like shareable type kind of candy size. Those. I don't know if they make Crunch anymore, but they used to have Crunch versions of those. And
like a Crackle or like a Rice Krispie almost?
Yeah, essentially a Rice Krispie one at the center. Yeah.
I was just going to bring up the Cadbury mini eggs.
Yeah, those.
Those are very, very smooth chocolate. The English do the chocolate right.
They sure do.
Yep, 100%. And I like Doc's new, I mean, Mac's new nickname for you, Joe, Dr. Joe Belee. That works perfectly.
Oh, that's pretty good. I got Cyclops, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. No one wanted to mention that.
Is that an old college name?
One-eyed monster, you know?
Wow, yeah, it is that kind of show today.
Apparently. We're getting blue, Benny.
We're having fun. But it's always fun, Nick. It's the Comic Book Minute. Maybe we can even do a duo here. I'll just hop.
A superb choice.
Who turned this into Doc's Comic Book Minute? He's freaking Wes trying to replace me. But yeah, real quick, while Wes catches his breath, Joe, as you know, I keep it a little bit shorter because I save a lot of for what we're talking about over on TLDR. But we got a pretty big week from Marvel. We got the Vengeance of Moon Knight issue 4. We got X-Men 33. And then we got a new Deadpool run that's starting. Issue 1 of that is out this week. I haven't checked it out. I don't know about you yet. But the ones that I'm most excited for and I have already checked out are Rook Exodus issue 1 and Red Coat issue 1. And I've also got a new start to the Geiger story, which you've alluded to wanting to talk about on the show for a while now. But that whole new universe was like Ghost Machine was that collected version that we got from Image. And obviously that's Jeff Johns, Jason Fabok, and then a ton of other creators in it. Have you gotten a chance to check any of this stuff out yet?
I haven't read Red Coat yet, which you did not call dibs on. So I'm going to read that for the other program. But from Image, we had the One Hand issue 3, which was just absolutely superb. And then the other series I've been reading, Antarctica, it wrapped up its second arc, man. Can't wait to talk about that one on the show. And then the other book is Crave, which is really naughty, really dirty. Haven't gotten to that one yet, but that'll keep me up tonight. I'm sure it will.
Nice. And I have called dibs on Rook Exodus, so you will not be able to read that one. I feel like it was a little ruthless on my part, especially because Fabbook's, you know, the artist on
it's
that
about
one,
damn time, Nicholas. It's about damn time.
Yes, it is. And also from Boom, we got The Return of Grimm, a book you talked about on the show, a series that I love. Welcome return. And then on the show this week, we will be doing the solicit for April. It's been a little bit since we've done a solicit, so we're going to be fairly busy with that. But before we do that, we got a draft to do, right, Wes?
Oh, yes. The X-Men character team draft. All right, good stuff. We don't want to get dinged here. Featuring the aforementioned good Dr. Gilmore here. So you guys have a little bit more experience than I do in this realm here. So I feel like I'm a little bit at a disadvantage. But essentially, we got five characters that we're going to be drafting. No real parameters. No real fences put up. We can kind of go in any direction here. Nick, I believe you have the automatic draft simulator or draft order.
I do have the draft order. Yes, I have that. Before I do that, so yes, we do have no rules. The one thing that I am going to do, I'm going to save this for the end, what my idea was, but I think it might be ideal for us to share what our thought process was in the draft. If you guys want to share it beforehand, by all means, but I need to keep it to myself because I just don't trust either one of you two to not try and lampoon my idea.
Smartest thing you've ever done.
Thank you. Drafting first overall will be Wesley Cyclops.
Wow, drafting that's huge.
Second, having the sandwich pick in a three-person draft is going to be me. And then, Joe, you get the wraparound pick at three. So we will do this serpentine style. We have no risk keep on the show, so it's safe to do that. We will be picking five X-Men. As long as they were an X-Man or woman at one point, they are eligible for this draft. And that does reach pretty far with some of these characters. But Wes, I don't want to take up any more of your time. You got the number one overall pick, sir.
Yeah, I was not expecting this.
Wow.
So this is pretty good.
Okay. Trade down, Phil?
Yeah, I might trade down, get some future picks here, you know, see what we can get for next year's draft. No, let's see. First overall pick. I got to do, she's like the strongest. Well, There's two ladies I'm vying for right now because I don't think they'll be around next time around.
Yeah, you got to wait a little bit. That's very fair.
And in the event that I don't get a leader, you know, maybe this one will be the best. I'm going to go Storm.
You son of a bitch.
With the first overall pick here. I think you could probably guess who I was leaning towards on the other end there. But storms that first pick. She's a leader. She's an Omega level mutant. She can control the weather. So you know, that's pretty good. She's good from long range or protecting things. So she's can set up good defense. And she's a leader. Yeah, like I said. So give me Storm first overall.
She was going to be my first pick.
She's also got quite a few different looks. Like, she's very versatile in that sense as well, which isn't something we're going to talk about normally when we're talking about the efficiency of these characters or the quality of the picks. But like, she has what we grew up on is, you know, the X-Men show, the Jim Lee version with the white outfit and the amazing white luscious locks. But like, we've seen her have like punk rock kind of looks in the past.
The mohawk sort of thing, right?
Yeah. Yep. And then we're seeing that in the cartoon now. We've seen that in the comics in X-Men Red. And she just looks so badass. So like, she can pull off a few different looks. So you got a lot going for you there. She was on my list, but for what I'm trying to do, she was actually way down on my list. Now, my number one on my big board, I didn't think would get taken early. I don't think this is a character that normally gets taken early, but this person is kind of the linchpin for what I'm trying to do with this group of X-Men that I'm drafting. And that's Kurt Wagner, Nightcrawler. I'm taking number one overall. Wow. A bit of a reach normally.
High reach.
But for what I have planned for my X-Men, I need to have him there. If I had lost him, it would have been a bit of a spiral. So I couldn't mess around taking Nightcrawler. Obviously, a character that I have talked about quite a bit, whether on Change My Mind or TLDR, or even on when I'm on Mac and Goo, a character who deals with the religious side of things. That was a big part of what was going on with him at Krakoa, the Way of X. We've actually talked to Cy Spurrier before, Joe and I. Really love what he's done with that character. And now he's kind of, while in this post-Krakoa era, he's actually been hiding out as like a new Spider-Man variant in New York. So there's a lot that you can do with that character. But for me personally, I like that the conflict that he has of being a hero, but also having this kind of peace-loving background, then, of course, looking like a demon.
I think it's a little high. I love Nightcrawler, though. One of my favorite characters growing up. I remember I went to the Kingston Mall, KB Toys, and got a Nightcrawler action figure that had suction cups on its hands. So you could put it on the window and climb up. And I was so excited. And my brother, 7 years older than me, mind you, wanted to take away some of my excitement and try out the toy. And he thought if he threw it up against the window that it would still stick, and it ended up breaking probably within the first hour of me getting home there. So that was a devastating moment. It's still not on my mind or anything.
You moved on. You let it go.
Yeah.
All right. PKB Toys, by the way.
Right. Yeah. KB at that Kingston Mall, it's like all broken up now, but there was the mall was great, but you also had the Toys R Us right next door.
Mm-hmm.
Go it was huge Toys R Us, so it wasn't like attached to the mall, but it was right next door. So you if you didn't find anything you wanted there, you could go over to KB Toys. It was a great spot for a kid.
Honestly, how many more malls? Like, seriously, like there's the Providence Place Mall. I know the Dartmouth Mall is doing well, but like I drove by the Galleria, which has been downhill for a while. But I drove by it yesterday for the first time in a while, Wes. It's gone. Like,
kids aren't hanging out at malls anymore. They're just on the dang TikTok and Fortnite. And
apparently,
you know, it's the whole idea of the outdoor mall now, like Main Street, any town USA, right? Legacy Place and Dedham, shout out.
Represent. Yeah, there you go.
Sure. Rentham outlets, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I'm quite surprised I'm going to be able to snag these two characters, because the first one, when Father Wesley was talking about taking one of these two ladies, I thought he was going to go in a different direction. Now, I will say I did like Storm very much on my first pick, but I'm going to take Jean Grey.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go.
Okay. Yeah, very, very powerful. Redhead, love it. You know, she can be a leader. If I don't end up getting a leader later on, she could be my leader if need be.
As long as she's not fainting,
you know, or having babies, right?
Right. Yeah. That's well, maternity that's leave, her. You know, it's a long time.
It's Madeline Pryor, not her. She's fine.
Oh, we love straddling Madeline Pryor. Okay. but no, she is. I mean, Jean Grey is as strong a mutant as there is. Mm-hmm. She's got the telepathic abilities, which can come in very handy. So the fact that she was there, absolutely love that. And the next one's Wolverine. Right. I mean, I know it's the popular move, but the guy, you know, He's got the claws. He is a wild card, but he could self heal all that. Like, I might be dabbling down a road where I want a bunch of misfits that might not play by the rules all the time.
Jean Grey, Wolverine, and Storm are my top three of my power rankings.
Plus, you know, Wolverine, you know, I hope that, you know, as long as Cyclops isn't in the picture, these two can, you know, can do their thing and hopefully become even stronger. But no, you got to go Wolverine, Jean Grey there. And I'm very excited to have those two on my team. So far, very strong.
That is a strong team. That is a strong team. I'm Wes, though. I mean, like, Cyclops, is he going to get in that mix over there? That's going to be, it could be very problematic.
Yeah, let's hope he doesn't, you know, straggle around for a late round pick there, and then you got a real thruple action going on.
Yeah, that would be something. But
keeps everyone on their toes.
Yeah. All right. So now, last time that you and I did a draft, Joe, for the X-Men, there was a character who I did not pick, who I think most who've listened to me talk about the X-Men in any capacity would think I would have picked. I am going to do that today. I'm going to take my all-time favorite X-Men character, one of my favorite characters in comic books, period, and that is Remy LeBeau, Gambit. I'm not messing around with this one. I have the vision I have was hopefully to have Nightcrawler and Gambit alongside one another. Nightcrawler can serve in that leadership role. Remy is obviously a little bit dirtier, a little bit scummier. He has the Thieves Guild background, obviously dealing with the Assassins Guild background as well. Down in the bayou, and also they're coming, they have different values, so maybe that's laying the groundwork for you guys to figure out what it is I'm planning on doing, but I don't want to say too much more than that. But Gambit at my number two. I got my first two people that I wanted.
Gambit's gonna get annoyed because Nightcrawler is gonna be trying to convert him the whole time. You know,
it could work. Maybe they just sit him down in a coffee shop for a whole a whole issue or a whole episode, and just be like, yeah, why not?
Well, it would make a good buddy cop movie.
Yeah, it could. That could work. Yeah, I could read that there.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be stacking. This might be controversial. I don't know. You tell me. You guys are more entrenched into the X-Men lore or not, but Magneto.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Magneto, another leader possibility. You know, he's kind of an anti-hero. You don't really know where he's going to be, but again, very, very strong, great defensive strategy using the metal there. I can kind of maybe cancel out Wolverine coming at me with the adamantium claws. I think this is, if we're in a Anchorman style brawl, you know, building a fight up against your two teams, I feel pretty good with Storm and Magneto there.
Yeah, that's tough.
I had Magneto. I was going back and forth, right, because Magneto was also on the top of my list, because I had mentioned earlier, right, I don't necessarily – I want people who will dabble in the gray, that will do what needs to be done, right? I don't need – I've got a code. I won't do this because of my code. No. Magneto has no code, and he will do what needs to be done. I love that pick, Wesley.
Yeah. All right. I'll round it out here. This is a personal favorite of mine. I'm going to go with Iceman. Iceman. Some of the original X-Men here, you know. I was thinking, you know, things get a little hot. He can cool things down.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Also an Omega-level mutant.
Yeah. Is he?
Yes.
Look at me here. I'm just stacking them left and right. But also what I really love about him is his Iceman surfboard. I mean, how he just kind of skis or snowboards everywhere. You know, that's really cool.
I always loved that power as a kid.
Yeah.
It was always cool. And my thing, though, was always like, it made me dislike the Silver Surfer more, because I always felt like I actually don't know who came first between the two. But I was always like, the design feels so similar. Mm-hmm. And the Iceman, I just feel like Iceman's way cooler than Silver Surfer. Maybe because I was introduced to him first. But it always kind of made me just like. Where I know you guys, like some of the guys in the DSG, like the Silver Surfer, just never did it for me.
So I always thought he was kind of cool. I thought Iceman had a little bit more pizzazz.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, Silver Surfer, he's like when people fan cast Keanu Reeves to play it, I feel like that's the perfect embodiment. That he's like not any real personality. He just kind of plays it straight the whole time.
Yes. There's been a lot of Keanu fan casting for Marvel. Understandably, that is one of the better ones for sure because of the lack of emotion and whatnot.
Actually, maybe this was an April Fool's joke. I don't know if this was over the weekend or earlier today, but I saw something about Ryan Gosling being rumored to play Ghost Rider. I thought that was really intriguing.
Yeah, that sounds like an April Fool's joke.
Yeah,
they've been trying to get him.
There's been stuff out there, like quite a few April Fool's jokes I saw today. I think I saw, was it Taron Egerton, like playing Wolverine? I think.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that out there. What really got me was the Patriot jerseys. I saw it was like a Patriot uniform tracker saying they were going back permanently to the blood red 80s jerseys. Wow. And I was like, oh, please let this be true.
April Fool's is the worst day for Twitter. It's just the absolute worst.
Brutal. But yeah, I do like the Magneto pick particularly too. Obviously I'm a big Magneto guy. And if we're talking fights and stuff like that, that becomes an instant problem for Joe's team if we were having ours go head to head to head. So now here's where I'm going to take a slight turn and I'm going to call an audible. I had two guys that I was between my 3 and 7 kind of interchangeable for the same slot and what I'm trying to do with this team. And I'm actually going to pivot here and I'm going to go with Cable as my number 3 pick. Obviously we hear mention of him in X-Men 97. Obviously he was in the original X-Men show quite a bit. And this is a character who I've really enjoyed over the years as well. Obviously a time traveler, and where we see, you know, Jean isn't his mom, but she also is his mom. We see like a super powerful character like that who's been manipulated and taken over in a lot of ways over the years. We've also seen her display her power with Cable. He's a super powerful character and badass, but at the same time, he has that disease that they mention at the techno, whatever it is, disease because of Sinister, because of Madeline Pryor that we see in the third X-Men 97 episode. So it's nice to give everybody that little history because I feel like over the years where you have like Winter Soldier, where he's got this metal arm and it's like badass and like, hey, this is great. And it's an enhancement for him because he lost his arm. For Cable, it is a constant problem and it is not helpful for him whatsoever. It's also not helpful against your Magneto, but at the same time, still something cool. But I like having him in the mix because where you talk about Gambit and Nightcrawler, like, you know, not being like being an odd buddy cop. I also think with Cable, that's another wrinkle in the mix where Gambit would be a pain in the ass for him. But then him and Nightcrawler have an interesting dynamic where we're talking about faith and then time travel. I feel like those can not always, don't always go hand in hand either.
Interesting. I like that because perceivably Cable could go back to Jesus' time and see if things were true or not. Yeah,
100%. Yep, I got a lot there.
All right. So I'm trying to figure out which direction I'm going to go in here, but I'm going to go back to back ladies here.
Oh,
we're gonna have a strong female team here, and I'm going back to back ladies. The first one we take is Kitty Pryde.
Oh, ooh, she was on my list. Yeah,
she was on mine too. Wow, I'm glad I made that pivot.
Right, so when she could phase through the wall, right? She can, you know, so not quite like Nightcrawler, but she has that quick escape ability. But she's also got that Shadow Cat badass side to her, right? I feel like she could be a real strong member to the team. Get you out of a quick pinch if you need to. And then I'm going Rogue. Gotta take Rogue. Gotta get that sweet dumper on my team. but no, her ability to absorb other mutants' powers, I think, can come in very, very handy.
Of course.
Right. And so we've got a strong female cast here. I've got someone who can, you know, with Jean Grey, she can act as a leader. If I don't pick one up, you know, with my last pick, plus the psychic ability, I've got Rogue who can also double as my muscle. Right, because she can absorb someone else's power. You got Wolverine, who's gonna live in the gray, baby. He ain't gonna follow anyone's rules. And then Kitty Pryde, who's there. You know, she's gonna be there. Strong offense, but also great defense.
Great defense there. Can get someone out of a situation pretty quick. Kind of like Nightcrawler, actually. Yeah. in some ways. Right. Yeah.
So those are my two picks.
Nick, was Rogue going to be your next pick here? Was this a stolen pick? Did she factor in at all?
No, Rogue was on my. So whenever we do any of these drafts, usually you and I have one other person on, or it's just the two of us. I always try and plan for, okay, we have 15 total picks. I want to make sure I have 15. Rogue was in my final third of picks when I, because I took a different approach than the last time I did an X-Men draft, because I want, A, I wanted to, and B, I didn't want to have the same exact roster, because what's the fun in doing that?
Yeah, exactly.
So Rogue was my 1-1 last time. This time she was 12th for me on my short list. Obviously with Remy in the mix and my plans would have worked, but I was just didn't want to necessarily go there. But Kitty Pryde was on my list. She's been doing, taking on that mantle of Shadow Cat again recently for the mainline X-Men run for Marvel. I love how like she's had to get a little extra ruthless. So nice pick on that one, Joe. And you did Rogue with her as well. Okay. So, yeah. So next it's funny when you have everything going to plan, it's like easy. Sometimes it's easy for a doubt to start creeping in, because I was like, this is too easy.
That was rude.
I expected some of this to go exactly as planned.
It was a subtle jab there. You kind of sneak those in. You know, you're such a genuinely nice guy. So, you know, sometimes you don't catch them as quickly.
He's a snake, Wes. He's a snake.
I'm glad we agree. I'm glad the other half can agree there. Yeah.
So I had been, so right now, because I'm not going to take both of them. I'm between X-23 and Magic right now. Magic, and the other person that I was considering earlier over Cable was Colossus. And with Colossus, I would have needed either Magic or Kitty Pryde for the sake of the story. But kind of as I'm talking more through this with, again, Nightcrawler being at the center of things, I feel like Magic is probably the better pick for me in this one. That's what I'm going to do. X-23 was on my list before, a little higher, but I'm going down and going with Magic because, again, when we're talking, so what I feel very comfortable in now showing my hand a little bit. I'm building a show with these characters right now, a show or a movie. That is very much my plan. And now I have Magic, who adds kind of another wrinkle where she's a little bit similar to Gambit in some ways, where she can be a little bit edgier, but at the same time, her and Nightcrawler with the whole faith conversation, like she's seen all this other stuff that's like on like these other realms and whatnot. So she's on that side of it as well. So I'm going with Magic as my number four pick.
Interesting. I like that note of putting a show or a story or a movie together or something like that. That was a good idea. I like that.
Thank you.
Okay. So I got my final two picks and I'm between three characters here.
Okay.
Morph.
Your final two.
Morph.
Wow. That was
Morph.
I kind of love the quippy twink there, Morph. one of my favorites from the original X-Men animated series. I do love his power set. I'm going with Morph on this.
Yeah.
So we'll go Morph here. And what I noticed is like aside from what's her name? Rebecca Romijn Stamos, Mystique, where she can like take on the presentation of other heroes or people, Morph, to my understanding, can actually use their powers.
Okay.
So it's really a wild card, right? You kind of do whatever they want. And if I'm operating under the right framework here. So
pretty significant difference.
And that's a good special ops character to have.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Can do some covert work there, you know, maybe can go into Nick's team as Rogue and kind of mess with Gambit's mind, as we've seen on the show.
How dare
a little
you.
Bit there, or to, well, Jean Grey, Wolverine, they're already on one team there. Maybe he can go into Cyclops and kind of create some drama and Doc's group there. So
yeah,
you know,
he's gonna get stuck by Wolverine.
He's slippery. He's moving in and out of places. You know, I can see that happening. So he's a good covert guy. He's a good wild card. I think that's a good team member to have here. The other ones, this is just like playing some of my favorites here. It's between Colossus that Nick mentioned, another personal favorite of mine from the shows and all the comics and everything. And Bishop. Again, another favorite from the X-Men animated series. He absorbs the power. He's a time traveler to combat Cable. You know, I think there's some interesting stuff there. Forge is going to get left off the list. Everyone needs a Donatello type guy, you know, a machines guy. He could be good, but I need some muscle. Give me Colossus. Give me
like Colossus. That pick. He was on my short list for the last pick.
Yeah, Colossus is a great one. I feel like he's always like, yeah, he's a cool character, and then somehow he's like a guy who can fly under the radar for some strange reason. But I love the idea with Bishop as well. He is also one of my favorite characters from the original show. And I actually have his original miniseries, his very first one too, somewhere in my collection. But Forge, interestingly enough, normally not someone I would take, Wes. I'm not gonna take him, but he was on my list. Like, I wouldn't even consider him typically. The reason why I was considering Forge is because of my number five pick. And this one was a high priority. But I have the Nightcrawler aspect to my whole show and story where I wasn't too worried about it. But I had this as something else, little to add a little flair, a different wrinkle, and it's actually a lot of flair. Dazzler is going to be my overall pick.
And Nick going with the C-list celebrity, draft.
Not when Taylor Swift plays her; she'll move right up to that A-list.
Is that the rumored role for her in Deadpool and Wolverine?
They keep saying, people keep talking about it. I mean, it could happen. I hope
Marvel needs that boost.
They have Ryan Reynolds, and I mean, I think Marvel's bounced back pretty well with the animated series. That would be a huge boost.
It's very different. Oh, I see what you did there. From the small screen to the big screen, this is their only movie they're releasing on the year. You know, it's great that X-Men 97 is doing as well as it has been. But this, there's so much in that bucket of Deadpool and Wolverine. Why do I want to say Dead Man and Wolverine? I don't know. That's not a person, Wes.
Thinking DC now.
But, is that a person?
I would love to see that happen. And I think Taylor Swift is buds with Blake Lively, too.
So yeah, like, they've shown up at games together and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
It might be an eye roll for me, but you know, I could see it working. She's a singer, right? I mean, that's what the character
absolutely.
Is. Yeah.
That's why she's my fifth, but again, not pivotal. Mm-hmm. But when I lay out a little bit, I want to let Joe make his you have one more pick, Joe? Right?
Just I one. Do. Yeah. Well, if the MCU wants to get back, you know, get another movie to make even close to $1 billion, they'll put Taylor Swift in it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, they're gonna continue to struggle, you know, at the box office. So I definitely had Colossus was on my short list for this fifth pick. Dazzler was nowhere even even close. So I've got a leader. I've got a strong. I got a couple of strong men with Wolverine, Rogue. I've got a great, defensive player, with Kitty Pryde. So I'm thinking I want a science guy, right? Mm-hmm. I need some brains.
Bill Nye.
And so I was thinking Beast early on, but Beast really can't do much. I mean, he's kind of big and strong, and he's like
he's also quippy.
He's quippy. He's a good modern day scientist. And we know that the X-Men don't always deal with shit in the modern day. So Forge got mentioned a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think I might take Bishop. He's not so much of a science guy, but he's been to the future. He knows, he knows things. He can time travel. He can also absorb also other people's powers as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very strong X-Men to sort of round out, my list here. Like, I like Forge. And he, again, he's a good science guy, but I don't know. I feel like I don't want to waste my spot so much there. Bishop can do a little bit more. He's been in the future. He's had that experience, but he's also got some pretty cool powers.
When you're building a team of five, like Forge is like, you have to have like, and that's why he was like on my list, but so far down, because if I was already considering Dazzler, like that's a weak number four. In my opinion. Like,
let me throw a wrench in the system. Do you want to go one more round?
I'd be down to. I have another pick. I have other picks that I can make. Joe,
I mean, gave away my game plan, but yeah, let's do it.
Okay, yeah,
we got the time. You know, yeah, let's do it on the fly here.
Yeah. We'll do one more round.
All right. So it stays with Doc.
Joe,
goes back to Nick and then ends with me.
Yep.
Okay. So one more pick here. So you think I'd take Forge?
That would be something.
Do I take Darwin? Do I take Psylocke?
Darwin?
Maybe Sunfire? You know? No, I'm taking Forge. Forge. Okay. Forge is on my list. I'm gonna take Forge. That way, him and Bishop, they can definitely go back and forth now, but we got the goods. We'll keep forging the future. That's where the sixth member just of my team was away. Yeah.
Why was Darwin actually on your list?
No. I've got them written down. I got a whole bunch of X-Men written down.
Okay.
Darwin
was one of them? That's what I'm confused about.
Not one that I was going to pick. I just wrote down, 20 or something X-Men, So.
Gotcha. Okay.
So in case I need to make fun of you, or in case you happen to fucking take Darwin with Magic and Dazzler and all the other D-list celebrities.
You talking shit about Magic? Are you really? Jesus, Joe, you're better than that. Read a comic book one time. My God. On my list of 15, I also had Deadpool all the way down because I, unlike some people on this drafting list, I don't want to go with like people that everybody talks about all the time, like a Wolverine or a Jean Grey. We've seen them, been there, done that.
We don't want Jordan on our team.
I did have four.
Give me Dwayne Schitzes.
I had a little bit lesser known Sage. I was going to go with X-23, but then as I'm going through this list of players or X-Men characters for consideration, I'm going to go with my number 9 on my big board. I'm going to go with Longshot. Because that's what this is right now on my end. That's right. And that may be the name of my show or movie. Reason why I'm throwing Longshot in the mix is not because
the Longshot to be watched by anybody.
Not because he's the father and son of Shatterstar, who's not going to come into the mix at all. But because he actually has previously had a relationship with Dazzler, which is kind of going to be where Nightcrawler's was a linchpin for me, but a lot of the plot is going to be centered around stuff that's happened to Dazzler in my show or movie. Longshot as my sixth member of my team.
All right, I like that. Okay, I'm going to close this out here. I'm thinking about mini groups within my group here. So if they have to split up at all, how is everyone going to coexist? I have Iceman and Storm. I imagine Storm can manipulate Iceman to a degree. He's weather, right? That kind of works. Mm-hmm. I have Magneto and Colossus. Magneto can manipulate Colossus, maybe, ball him up and then throw him at a large speed. Who knows? He could be like a wrecking ball. So I need someone to go with Morph. And I think the aforementioned Mystique would be a good pairing because they can infiltrate and do covert stuff, fuck shit up from the inside by wearing a mask, so to speak. So give me Mystique. And then if we want to do a cool storyline, Mystique and Magneto go together. So maybe that's like a villain story, that the villain team up there going against the Morph, the Iceman, the Storms, the Colossus of the world. So I think there's a couple of good versatility in there.
You never know what they're up to, right?
Exactly.
Is there a subplot there where maybe they're double agents, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like what we're seeing play out now with X-Men 97. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That would actually be a really cool subplot. And I was just thinking too, have we ever seen it? Not X-Men, but in general, where we have characters. What do we call their? I know this is the ability to morph, but like, what is their superpower technically called? Like, I don't know. I'm blanking on it right now, but anyway, to mutate or whatever, but shapeshift. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Joe. If you had like a story where it was like shapeshifters and no, like normal people like us wouldn't be able to tell, but other shapeshifters can tell, like they see that person, the shapeshifter's true form
for who they are
at all times. That doesn't come into play here, but I just, like, as you were talking about, I've never thought about that before.
Like the Red Witch from Game of Thrones. Someone's able to see her always as the old hag and not
exactly.
Some beauty that she really.
And then you got some storyline of never judging a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. So you got a good moral theme kind of underlying the whole thing.
100%. Now I know. Okay. We want to go through. We got to recap our whole list for everybody. We turned this into teams of six. But like, was Wes first? Like with you, because you picked first. Did you have? I know you ended up doing the subgroups within these teams. Was there anything else? Like, were you thinking like purely fighting? Did you start thinking about show?
Yeah, I'm thinking about who would win in battle. I'm generally have a one track mind. But once you brought up your storyline concept, that got me thinking a little bit towards the back half of my draft here. So then some of it kind of worked out. Like I said, having Magneto as like an antagonist, anti-hero type, Mystique kind of blends with Morph, which can blend with Magneto. you know, Colossus, also a good leader, very, very morally strong. So I think them and him and Storm could kind of lead from the front there. Yeah. I think we got some good stuff. Iceman's kind of a follower to me. He's just there for fun.
But yeah, that's an interesting group still, nonetheless. And like in the comics, we've recently seen Storm and Magneto intertwined on they've both been on Mars. So I think there's a lot of, like, from a show standpoint, I think there's actually some pretty high potential.
And you agree with this? I like that.
Mystique at the end of it all, throwing her in the mix, puts a really nice wrench in it from a viewer standpoint. Maybe not from a team standpoint, but I like that.
But the real question is choosing between Rebecca Romijn Stamos or Jennifer Lawrence. You know, who do I want? It's
Rebecca Romijn, hands down,
100%. It's not even a question.
Yeah, that's true.
She played the character better, but the character was also written better for her. In fairness, like I know, like there's like Jennifer Lawrence was like kind of done or whatever. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
They turned her into a hero with her, like or like an anti-hero. It's like, no. Like, Mystique only serves her own purpose, that she's a villain for sure, but like she's not a, like, maybe not as much a team person as they made with Rebecca Romijn. What's her last
Stamos?
Name?
Stamos.
Stamos. Okay.
You put respect on John Stamos's name.
Yeah.
Is that's John Stamos's wife?
Yeah. Well, ex-wife, right? Or are they still married?
I didn't know that either way.
I think Jerry O'Connell is married to Rebecca Romijn now.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. But either way, like, she was, you know, she was working more alongside Magneto there, but like still a villain. Like, she should always be in that direction. She can be a bit of a rogue if you want, sure, but always out for number one. And in the J-Law stuff, we saw some of that, but it was kind of more heroic. So
yeah, she did definitely turn more into the hero. The cringy line of naming everyone X-Men, but the women do all the saving. Maybe you should be X-Men. It just felt a little bit too telegraphed for me. In that, what was that? Dark Phoenix? Which one was that?
No, it was Apocalypse.
That was Apocalypse. Yeah, brutal.
Brutal.
Dark Phoenix. We ripped that
both
one.
Both those movies. Shred.
That was both tough. Those that was tough. There.
Garbage.
Joe, what was your plan in all of this?
Well, I wanted a well-rounded team, right? I wanted a team that could, you know, no matter what the situation was, be prepared. Right. I love to be prepared. I'd like to be caught off guard. Yeah. And be prepared. But I wanted some strength, you know, and I wanted some strong mutants, Jean Grey, you know, Wolverine, you know, some strong mutants there, Red Rogue. This is a badass team. They're going to go in. They're going to kick some ass. And I think most of these characters, except for Jean Grey, might be, you know, unless she's the Phoenix, right? But as Jean Grey, she's probably the most morally centered character on my list. All these other characters, they'll go beyond what needs to be done to get the job done. There's some gray there with all of these characters, and I wanted that. You know, Emma Frost was a character that didn't get
mentioned. She was on my list too. Yeah.
Yeah, she's really strong. She's got some great abilities. Again, another character that's out for herself. You know, I would have done well on Wes's team. You know, Wes has got the ultimate wild card team.
Definitely.
But I wanted to be able to handle shit from the future as well, right? Because we know the X-Men deal with, you know, extraplanetary stuff. So I got all my bases covered.
And your wild card in Wolverine could be tempered by Jean Grey. She can reel him in.
Yeah, she can. You know, she knows what buttons to push.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like both of your teams a lot. And I think from a show standpoint, a comic standpoint, movie, I'd be interested in both of them. So for me, you know, you talk about the buddy cop the option with Nightcrawler and Gambit originally. That was what I was thinking the whole time, was this is going to be centered around those two guys. As it went along, I had Colossus as my number three. He was kind of going to be a muscle in all of it. But as I was thinking about it more, and then as I was talking about it with you guys, I really like the idea of Cable and Nightcrawler being side by side, because I do think there's a little bit more of a stronger opinion between the two of them. And then with the Dazzler of it all, I know it seems funny, but she's, again, more of a plot device for what I'm thinking. I think having Gambit be in the role that I would have had Colossus fits a little bit better. So basically what I'm thinking is Nightcrawler and Cable, they work together, they've forged a relationship, and they are called in by Dazzler's team because she's had her life threatened. She's had attacks on her. Who is her head of security? Magic. Who is her number two? Gambit. And they're one, they think the attack has come from within. So they're both suspect at this point. And obviously that makes sense for both of those characters. And then also Longshot, again, the last addition to the mix, very easy when, you know, we're seeing somebody get attacked. They're ex-lovers. So, in the comics, they both had forgotten their relationship in the past. So it makes it easier to kind of, you have a little more wiggle room with that. Like you could maybe remember or something to that effect.
A little 50 First Dates situation there, you know?
Yes.
Let's have Adam Sandler as Longshot.
There you go. I'm down with that. Why not?
Yeah, that's in.
Let's get weird with it. Sure.
And Cable as Rob Schneider.
Right, this Cable. This guy writes one comic book, and all of a sudden, now everything's plot driven. Right, he's telling.
I like stories. That the wheels are turning like that, though. Yeah. That's good stuff. That's how you create good content in this world.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I hope
we're still waiting it from you know waiting for it from there. You
know. Oh no, I just got my survey from the Kickstarter account.
Yeah, the backer
filled that out yesterday. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep, everybody be on the lookout for that if you did back the project, and I appreciate it very much. Yeah, excited to get the physical copies. Hopefully, I don't know the exact timeline on that, but hopefully soon.
Hey, when they come, you know. This isn't some scam here. You're not running like a Ponzi scheme on us, are you?
No. I've already given you have the story in hand. So
yes, that's true. But I'm not reading it though. I'm not reading it until I get the real thing.
That's my dad's. I was with my parents over the weekend, and not to step into the discharge depot, but I went to show him some stuff, and he was like, "No, I want to wait till I have it in hand."
Yeah, absolutely.
I respect that. But Joe can't wait.
I still, you know, there's a world here where Nick has never signed up for anything, doesn't know Scott Snyder at all, and he's just doing this to try to get, you know, maybe a little bit of cash his way here. There's some scheme going on here.
It's pyramid shaped.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what this whole all the podcasting world's about. And don't let them fool you, everybody. They're in on it too, Joe. And Wes.
Well, yeah, you know, we'll see. There, it's a little kickback of numbers here. Yeah, something on the back end. All right, so run through your team real quick for me.
All right, so I went number one, and I was picking out of the two spot. I went Nightcrawler, round number two, Gambit, third, Cable, fourth, Magic, fifth, Dazzler, played by Taylor Swift. Sixth, Longshot, played by Adam Sandler.
Yes. And that would be a classic Adam Sandler movie, too. Someone who just outkicks his coverage, like, completely, you know?
That, honestly, yeah, very true.
My team here, I had the first overall pick. I went with Storm, followed by Magneto in the second round, followed by Iceman in the third, Morph in the fourth, Colossus fifth, and Mystique rounding out my team with the sixth round.
Nice.
And I took Jean Grey with my first pick, very strong pick, and then followed it up with Wolverine, Kitty Pryde, Rogue, Bishop, and then my sixth and final pick, Forge, baby.
Yeah.
I like that's a strong end. The 4, 5, 6 there. That's a pretty strong mid-round selection for you.
Yeah.
The reason Forge was on my radar, by the way, he was going to be like a roadie for Dazzler. So obviously a huge step down for him.
Okay. Okay, I can see that there. I like that. Also, okay, so we got our teams there. Maybe I will put out a poll. Maybe not, because it's April Fool's. I'll keep you on your toes. but, you know, we've all been, you know, this all came up, of course, because X-Men 97. Nick and I talked about it in the Discharge Depot. Doc, are you all caught up?
I'm all caught up. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's been really good. The most recent episode, I think, you know, we talked about this maybe in the group chat. I don't know, online, but... or on here, but the last one was like super emotional.
Yeah. I've watched it, I think, three times already. It's like one of the better X-Men animated series episodes, period.
Yeah, and I love they pick it up like just like they did in the original series, where they leave you on a cliffhanger that leads into the next episode. But each episode is like kind of can live on its own.
Yeah,
I love how there's like that kind of interconnectivity, but they also have that standalone factor. The stuff with the baby killed me. Having a, you know, an infant child, that makes it, you know, all the more real. I was watching it in bed on my iPad, and, you know, Jules leaned over and just caught like the final few minutes of it and then started tearing up. Doesn't know who any of the characters are or any, like, no connection to anyone, but she's like, this is like kind of fucked up, you know.
Dude, it was
like super well done.
I was blown away at how, like, I was like, I felt like a welled up a little bit with the Madeline Pryor stuff. Like they did a, an out at the end specifically. Like I just didn't expect that. Cause like it's Cable. Like I know it's Cable. I know he's going to get taken to the future. Like they did a good job, but I know the story. So I'm enjoying seeing it unfold, but to get emotional like that, it just, yeah. So in hearing it across the board, it's just is mind blowing. But yeah, extremely well done. And they, and Madeline Pryor, like such a cool, like wild card character who they did a great job with.
Although it was like, again, this kind of goes into like the cheesiness factor and some, I think they're kind of leaning into it when she says, what did she say? I'm the Goblin Queen.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I know, but that's like, you hear like the way that she says it, it sounds kind of like, oh, it's like an eye roll moment, but it, again, it all kind of works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know how much cheese to put in there, but yeah, it is like, you can just call her Madeline Pryor and be fine, but like, that's just comic accuracy.
I'm the Goblin Queen.
Yeah.
But what I love too, is I love the Sinister stuff. I love how they're, you know, they're tying, you know, obviously it's just a continuation, but they're just not forgetting about the original animated series. And a lot of the episodes leading into the finale from the original series, they're drawing from, especially the Sinister stuff, which I love because he's such a great villain. Mm-hmm. And you know, you had the line, you know, with straddling Madeline Pryor before we knew it was her, where she said, "Well, Storm would have believed me," and that's coming off an episode that was highly emotional with Storm.
Yeah,
right. So it's just each episode. It's only three so far, but they've rolled into each other really well, and it's almost as if like the original animated series it's just a straight continuation. Like there wasn't 20 something years in between.
Yeah. No, they've done a really good job production wise, writing wise so far. But I've been really happy with it. Also, you know, obviously, just how feared the X-Men are by the general population, right? So that's kind of an underlying theme throughout this. And you get the FOH there. Was it the Friends of Humanity who were involved, right? So I wonder, I saw this post somewhere else, so this isn't an original thought necessarily, but when they go to introduce the X-Men to the Marvel Universe, you know, they're going to differentiate with the power sets, right? But they're like, it's like the Avengers aren't mutants. Like the Incredible Hulk isn't a mutant. Spider-Man isn't a mutant, but they have powers. And they're all kind of accepted as like America's heroes, the world's heroes. But how are they going to introduce the hatred for the X-Men or like the xenophobia for the X-Men that the general population have? Or is that something they don't touch? Because it feels like that's, you know, a big part of what the X-Men are.
It's all of what the X-Men are. I mean, that's exactly, you know, what Stan Lee was doing, using the X-Men as, right? It was this way to sort of combat or, you know, to talk about racism without it strictly being just a black and white thing, right? It was
sure.
And so if they were to introduce the X-Men and not have that element to it and just strictly make
how do they do it though? That's what I wonder. Like, how do they differentiate from the perception of the Avengers to the perception of X? Like, are they just aliens from like a different time, universe?
They do it in the comics. I mean, you and I talked about Avengers versus X-Men a long while back. I mean, there's just like choices that are made. I mean, with Krakoa, this era now, they went and, you know, created their own island where all mutants could live, and that was a whole to do. People didn't like that. It was like it was an issue. And even with the superhero community, obviously Avengers versus X-Men, they don't always get along with their other buddies. That's why when like everyone's like, oh, all these X-Men have been Avengers before. Not really. It's like Wolverine's done it, Rogue's done it. Not many other people. Yeah, maybe Beast.
I think I'm not sure if I'm putting my question the right way.
Like, no, when,
how do they make the people of the MCU, like the you and I's of the MCU, xenophobic of the X-Men, but not the Avengers or like the Avengers?
I don't know
heroes.
How they make.
You
know,
like, how are they going to differentiate that? Is my kind of my question.
Oh, I mean, I think that it's like it's. I mean, the biggest thing is that they're like a different species, and I mean that. And for us,
yeah, but technically though, like. You could say Miss Marvel gets her. Like, people don't know her, but they accept her. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
I say it all depends on how they're introduced into the MCU. And then I think it's going to have to sort of be one of those things where they're introduced and it's not a thing. But then over the course of say a movie or two of us, you know, of them being ingrained in the MCU, then we start to see it kind of build over time. And then you give us a solo X-Men movie where maybe that's a major plot point of it. Right.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to have to be something that is like, oh my God, who, you know, not necessarily that they're aliens from a different country, but all of a sudden, like, they're just coming out of the woodworks and we're being exposed to them. And then you see that slow build, that slow hatred of them. And then maybe you give us a standalone X-Men movie where that's a major subplot to whatever's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just interesting because it's kind of the same thing, right? Whether they have like, whether you get injected with something like Captain America or Incredible Hulk or something like that, or just being born with the powers, essentially, like, it's still to the general population something new, but they accept one but not the other.
It's a hypocrisy, you know, for sure.
Yeah,
it's very much a hypocrisy. But I think where it's interesting, and as we're talking about it more, like, they've done it in the comics, like, it's established there, it's been that way for a long time. But now what you're talking about is a very valid question in the sense of, like, you know, we're not like we all, like, you know, superhero fans enjoy superheroes, but now it's like in this world, in a different era. Like, we're not talking about the 60s where they were first created, or the 80s where they, like, took off with the addition of Wolverine and stuff like that. We're talking about now. How is that going to be different? I do think that there's a lot more pull, it's a more polarizing time, but you're right, it is an interesting question. How are they going to spin what they've done in the past?
Well, we already saw it to a bit of an extent, what led up to Civil War with the Sokovia Accords, right? And the government trying to control the superheroes, right? Foundation. So we'll probably get something along those lines where it's like, okay, now we know mutants exist. We've got a, you know, so, you know, maybe you got a president or whomever, a group of people that say we're going to, you know, we need to control, round up, whatever. And so maybe that's how they do it. They kind of play it a lot like how they did leading up to Civil War.
I wonder if they take what the boys do, like that whole story with Compound V and everything. I wonder if they don't, like, they don't do that exactly, because that would for 200 reasons be not okay. Sure. But if they, like, the people that Joe's talking about, like the people who are the anti-mutant people, try and make this claim that this is what's happening, or like they're poisoning the water, like that kind of shit. And that's why we have mutants all of a sudden, you know, something just simple like that, that then leads to, like, it's a problem that they're popping up. And now once they have mutants, they're reproducing and it's furthering all of this issue. So maybe that's the problem.
I like that. Somebody poisoned the water hole. That's a Western theme. We're just talking about that with the Roadhouse, you know, taking a Western theme and adapting it for today's world. I like that. I wonder if it's, anything to do with, like, the converging timelines, or like the multiverse collapsing on itself, that something gets merged. What's the word that they use? An incursion? Is that the term that they use?
I believe in Loki. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be a heavy lift, because you're like,
it is. Yeah.
They're talking about, but then just like when they bring him in the mix,
Roadhouse.
Yeah. And just how important this is too, right? To get it right. Because yeah, you don't want another fan four stick situation
They fuck up the introduction of the X-Men, the MCU's toast.
Yeah,
it's really to toast.
In fairness, I've very much said, I've, like, with a lot of the rhetoric that we have in the DSG of, like, you know, the MCU being in trouble, I've pushed back against that. However, if you don't get the X-Men right, that is a huge, like, huge, huge problem. I agree.
Yeah. It's a temple property.
It's the best outside of Spider-Man. That is your best property for Marvel, and they have not used it. But that's also why I'm very confident in how things are going to go.
I hope so. I'm just as confident as you. But you know what I'm always confident in, Nick? Where is it? The Discharge Depot.
Choo choo, bitches.
Nick, what did you do on this glorious Easter weekend?
I went and spent time with my family for Easter weekend. First time in a long time that I've been back with them. I usually go to see the in-laws for Easter. So had a nice time. And and you got to see, like, my aunts and uncles as well too. So a nice relaxed time. Watched, what was it, for the first time in a long time? Talladega Nights.
Old favorite in the Fryer household.
Yes, it is definitely, like, at least it's probably number one for my family, like, that we used to watch the most. But at least top five, right there with, like, Daddy Daycare and Tommy Boy. So quite, actually, my mom says Mr. Deeds. should be in that mix as well. So there's
that's, it should be. Yeah, that's a great one as well.
That's
DZ, you sick ass mofo. You better tap that shit before she starts boning other guys.
Yeah.
Booyah, kid.
Yeah. But yeah, that is what I did. What about you?
I had a glorious Easter Sunday afternoon. But aside from that, I rewatched Godzilla, the last two Godzilla movies.
Ooh.
In anticipation of what apparently it didn't do very well, but the Godzilla X Kong movie that just came out this weekend. So I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters. Great. You got Ghidorah out there with the three-headed dragon. Very cool stuff. Godzilla versus Kong. Also, these movies are like, they're not good, but I love them anyway. And it's like a guilty pleasure. It's not like it's so good, it's so bad, it's good. I just know they're not really good. And I just love them anyway. Just give me these like cheesy action movies that are just filled with monsters. It's a fun time. You got Hollow Earth there. You got good like conspiracy theory stuff in there throughout. It was a fun watch.
Nice.
Love that. Love that.
Joe, what about you? Did the Easter Bunny visit?
The Easter Bunny did visit. And then we went to my parents' house. Violet did a wonderful Easter egg hunt, but my family got me a VR, got me the MetaQuest 3.
VR set
for my birthday. So
very nice.
Been downloading some games on that. There's a cornhole game, and my daughter was playing cornhole on it, which was hilarious. But the best thing that happened was so today is April Fool's Day, and my daughter thinks April Fool's Day is the greatest thing ever.
Of course.
So she did one prank where she left a rubber snake on the steps for me to see this morning when I woke up. No, so that was cute. But I'm in the shower. 5 minutes in, I hear a knock on the door. I was like, what is it? And she goes, Dad, there's water all over the floor in the bathroom. I'm in the basement bathroom taking a shower. Yeah. And so I'm like, oh. So I start asking her questions. And she's got answers for every single one of my questions. And she's so deadpan in her response. Like I was like, okay, where's the water coming from? It's coming from the shower. Okay. It's all over the floor. Yeah. Okay, I'll be right up.
This is a nightmare.
I fly to this. So before I even make it upstairs, in my head, I'm already like, okay, I've got to call into work, take the morning off. I've got to renew my service plan. That's $200. It's at least $200 for them just to come look at it. So before I even get up the stairs and see what's going on, I'm like $500 in the hole and taking the morning off of work. I open up the bathroom door. She's in there laughing. She had filled about 6 cups worth of water and just put them on the floor. She goes, see, there's water all over the floor.
Oh, I like that. That's good. She actually went the extra step to actually put the water in the cups to get the bit. I get that's dedication. I love that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, jeez. I was hook, line, and sinker. And I had just been April Fool's pranked 5 minutes prior. I should have seen it coming. But no, because we've had issues with that bathroom before, so it was just
That's amazing. How you get her back, you eat all of her Easter candy chocolate and everything. Ooh. Tonight and be like, April Fool's all gone. I don't know what happened.
No,
like,
that was
all too quick. That was coming out of a holster. You were prepared.
Oh, it's on the desk. That. It's ready to go. Yeah.
That would not go wrong. Wes, how was the little Mrs. First?
It was great. Yeah, we did a little Easter egg hunt. You know, after church, where some young kids actually brought over the Easter egg that they had found and started putting them in her Easter basket, which I thought was adorable.
Aww.
Which we then just gave back to them because that would have been like us adults eating the candy that the kids gave to us, so didn't really feel right doing that. But yeah, it's nice. We had a nice, lovely Italian dinner at the Mezzaluna, the preeminent Italian restaurant in Bourne. It's the only one. But you know, it was a classy affair. It was a real classy.
Is it attached to the Dunkin' Donuts there, right on the Rotary, or
actually not too far off from where you're talking about? A few blocks down, it might as well be attached to the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh man, nice. That's good.
It's all good, you know.
Look at that. You had a nice, awesome weekend, and Joe got pranked. All is right in the world.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I'm not gonna. I completely have like overlooked. You mentioned like Twitter is such a cesspool on April Fool's Day. Now that like once kids get the idea of April Fool's, you know, you got to be on your toes for that. I got to be aware of it moving forward.
Oh, yeah. I'm not looking forward to those days either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That'll be good stuff. Nick, what do we got brewing next week?
We don't have anything in the hopper as it stands, specifically, but we have talked about another X-Men themed idea. We got a couple that we're deciding on.
Yes, that's right. It was what, the trilogies, original versus sequels?
Yep. And then we had
for the X-Men.
And then it was, I think, the character rankings across the X-Men movies.
Yes. That one I might be a little bit more keen on. Might take a little less prep work as well.
Yes, I agree. And I think we have time to do the other one as well, but like I think I agree. Like, let's do this one now. And I just think like I agree. We're on the same page. So we'll do the rankings.
Do we have an interview coming up in the near future?
We do, but you know how I roll. I don't like to say when it's ready because until we have it in the can, because I don't want to jinx anything.
Sure. Of course.
We do have something slated, but that
I would like to ask my X-Men Avengers MCU question. I want to bring that back up if that goes through.
I agree. I think it's a very good question. But next time we'll be doing the movie character rankings from the X-Men movies across all eight that we've gotten. If you count Wolverine Origins, I think is what.
Oh, I know you count Wolverine Origins, so we will we will count that. Yes. It will be at the same bat time, same bat place as always.
All right. Now let's go get them.